Today, I have the opportunity to visit with Gail Jacobson, Executive Director of the Patagonia Creative Arts Association, also known as the Art Center. Gail is here with her faithful companions, Serafina and Barney. Welcome to the show, Gail.
Thank you.
Most of our listeners will know that the Art Center is the very colorful building right next to the gas station in Patagonia. What activities do you have going on at the Art Center this year?
We start our year in August, and so to think about what we've done this year from August until now, it encompasses also the school year. Drawing, painting, ceramics, printmaking, fabric design. I'm thinking about children's work that we do with children. Oh, of course, then there's the after-school program, which is club theater. We can look forward to a performance from them. The theater gets a little bit more active when the temperature gets more level, in that the Tin Shed Theater does not have air conditioning, nor does it have heat. So there's a very small...
kind of a spring and fall sort of window.
I hope we can get in there so you're not too hot or too cold as an audience. We also, the after-school program also performs, but they do two performances, and they do those performances in the afternoon for their peers and in the evening for their relatives and friends. So we're very active. I don't think I've let anything... Oh, we have a new project afoot. We're thinking and have had lots of conversations with a group that wants to do an international art exhibition. And we're really excited about it, and we're hoping that it'll work. It's taking us in a new direction, yet it does definitely fulfill our mission.
What do you mean by an international art exhibition?
Well, this is just so much fun. The Arts Council in Hermosillo, Mexico, has approached an organization in the U.S. to put together something happy, something truly art, at the entrance to the border of Mexico.
Down in Nogales?
Yeah.
Oh, I know. I know.
So to do that is really kind of, I would guess that right now the largest discussion is around the fact that that's federal property. You're not allowed to put things on top of the border, you know, up on the walls. So we have to talk a lot about why is that so, and see if we can find some space that we can do. How do we say this? That we can have in there and that everybody is in agreement that it should be.
So would this be visual things?
Yes, this is going to be a visual. But it'll also be in contact with the choral group that we have that we love. They may come down and do some things. There may be a little bit of dancing on opening day, but not throughout the week. There are a lot of restraints. But I just think it'd be so much fun. And it's going to have to do with children. Mm. That's your first... and for today, your last hint.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're doing that, and we're just thinking about next year already and thinking about what type of subject or what we should focus our attention on. And we've decided it's going to be theater, which it has been this year. But we've decided instead of every time we make our programming that it needs to be new, we have decided that what we want to do is we want to go a little broader and a little deeper, and we want to really grab onto the idea that our kids know about drama, and as well as our adults. And so that's going to be, I mean, I'm really looking forward to a fun year coming up.
Well, you mentioned the focus on drama, but when we first started talking, you listed so many different media that the children are working in. When does that take place, and which children are involved in those different...
We have a schedule that we make early on, present to our teachers in both Elgin School and Patagonia Elementary School. And so then Faye Finley develops a schedule, and she's an angel. She puts the schedule together, and then people change it, and then the teachers are going to go away for a little while. So actually having it happen is quite a miracle. Because nothing is static. Everything is always changing.
So then, did the children come to the Art Center?
Some of them do.
But sometimes not?
Sometimes not.
The teachers go to the schools?
Yes. We just made a negotiation with Elgin School to go there and teach in. They have an art room there. and it's lovely, and it has a big old sink in it, and it's just really nice. And the kids don't have any art in Elgin. Mm-hmm. I know, big surprise. But they don't, and they're supplementing it with our schedule. And so what we do is we drive there with our materials, and we conduct one-hour-long classes for the whole school.
And how often do they start?
Not terribly often, but the reason is more important. The school buses are so expensive to drive through, and they are doing a matched grant with the Art Center. So our compromise is we can take two people in one car, or four people in one car, and our materials, and we can arrive. And you know, they look to us like we're Mary Poppins. It's really a wonderful experience. Mm-hmm. And then we have the elementary school children coming to us, mostly, but just last week we were at the Cape Music has 20 kids this year. That's a lot of little guys, first and second grade. So what we decided is we would split that. We would do first, and Kate would do things with second, then we would do second, and she would do things with the other children. That way they get a lot of attention from us, and the ones that leave excite the ones that are coming in. It's just really kind of nice. But it's a big class, and we don't comfortably fit that many dancing children in the studio.
So how many grade levels do you work with?
Primarily pre-K through fifth. And we have done programming over the 11 years, listen to that community, 11 years of production in the Art Center. So we've done all the way through high school. But right now we're doing early childhood development through the arts.
Okay, and then
that's our focus.
Okay, and then club theater, what ages is that?
They have to be able to read. So we would say, I'm going to make a guess here. I think that you're pretty much able to read when you're in second grade and all the way through high school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's an interesting criteria.
Well, they have to be able to read in order to read the script.
Right? That's right. Okay. Right. So it's a reading program.
And many other kinds of things, too. Well, then, so who teaches these
students? The teachers presently are myself, Faye Finley, Molly Finney, Winona, and Helen Chester. And we have, occasionally we have guests who come in and teach for us. Sometimes they're volunteers, sometimes we pay them.
And since we're on the subject of who's involved, who's on the board of the Art Center?
Well, I'm going to see if I can do that.
Okay.
We have Molly Finney as our president and co-founder of the Art Center. We have Faye Finley, who will be having to leave our board but still be at the Art Center in that she's taking the position of co-director. So that means that she can't be on the board any longer. We have had in the past Erasmo Lagunas. We have Sylvia Morietta. We have, I'm going to start to overlap. Oh, Roger. He's really a wonderful asset.
Roger Johnson?
Yes. He's done a lot for us. And it's nice to have him there.
So why is arts education important for children?
Oh, that's a real... I'm so glad you asked that question, Julie, because that's the heart of it. I've been working with children in arts all of my life, all of my adult life. And I am here to tell you we all learn differently. But one of the things that the arts gives us is it gives us an opportunity to use all of our senses and to be able to explore and to accept things outside of our own culture. Not everybody loves art, but if they just stop for a minute and look that art is everywhere, it doesn't mean just making a drawing. It has to do with how our houses look, how our cities look, how our gardens look. It's seeing, and then capturing what we see and interpreting it, maybe with paint, maybe with pencil, maybe with charcoal, maybe it looks realistic, maybe it doesn't. Maybe make a piece of clay that is exceptional because it's been inspired by something else you've seen. I believe children connect when they have had arts experiences. I believe that it helps them with seeing the world as a whole, and they become lifelong learners. And that's what I've dedicated my life to, and I have to believe it, or I have been in the wrong place.
Well, when we were first talking about visiting, you mentioned that you thought that a way of encapturing what we'd be talking about would be fear no art. Yeah. Would you like to say more about that?
Well, I think a lot of us after the age of five think we don't know how to draw, or we don't know how to do this, or we don't know how to do that. It may not even be centrally located on the arts. It may have to do with math, science, reading, performing, all kinds of things. But I don't want our children of our communities to be afraid to express themselves. And it doesn't mean it has to be an artistic masterpiece. It has to do with personal expression about something you've experienced. No experience, no response. So we'd like to give our children as many experiences in the arts as we possibly can. And I feel that we've been very successful with that, with the help of our classroom teachers at Patagonia. So it's been a great ride.
Mm. Can you give us an example of one particular experience that really stands out for you as exhibiting that kind of inner expression brought into the outside world that you're talking about with children? Or a particular program that you feel has really tapped into
something?
I think
one of the most important programs we've offered this year, and we have offered this program in other years, is the body movement program. It connects directly with the ongoing curriculum of elementary schools all over the country. It connects directly with obesity problems that we see. It just connects to know your body, to understand your body, to use your body in a way that you haven't used it before, to get fluid and to feel connected, I think is just an extremely wonderful thing. We just call it movement because we don't want all of our little boys to think that they're dancing. So that's been very successful for us, and we've brought Allison Marshall to the front to be able to conduct that specific program that she does all over the United States and Europe. So we have the teachers involved, we have the teaching artists at the Art Center involved, and of course the children. And it's a wonderful thing. Mm. It's just so much fun and so releasing for some of the children.
Mm.
That's a good one.
Is that something you'll be able to continue?
It depends on money. Everything at the Art Center depends on money. We have lots of people who volunteer their time, but you can't volunteer materials. You can't volunteer rent. You can't volunteer. There's certain things that are hard costs that people seem to understand in their own home but don't necessarily understand in. We're a nonprofit. We have nothing. We're selling nothing except art. And our programming is always free. Unless you've contracted with the group that comes to us from Tucson, the drawing studio. They have a contract with us. Other people have contracts with us. Our contracts are usually never over $100. But it's something that says, you're here, we're here, and this is happening.
Yeah.
So that's probably...
Yeah. Now, how is the Art Center funded? I mean, the fact that you...
Well, we have from people,
mm-hmm.
and from grants, and from foundations. That's it. We have three categories. One's private donation. The other is grant solicitation, that we go out after grants that we find out about. And the other is foundation, which is really only a little different from soliciting grants, because sometimes foundations don't require a final report. There are a lot of things they don't require, so that money goes to our operations. We love that. We really love that. In our programming grants, we are... we discuss what we're doing and exhibit what we're doing three times to each grantor. So we're busy. We're busy year-round because sometimes they come in the summer and they want to see. People want to know that you're spending their money the right way.
Mm-hmm.
This is not our money. Mm-hmm. This is money for the public specifically to certain programming or to our general fund.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we do it.
That's amazing.
Sometimes I go to Nogales on a slow day, and I visit some of the produce people there and other people that I know, and tell them that it would be just grand if they felt that they could come up with $25. It would cover all of our crayon cost.
Mm.
And they're really, really willing to give it out for that type of thing because it's real. They know what it is. They can touch it.
Mm. So if people listening to this show are interested in learning more about the Art Center or making a contribution,
contribution. We'll tell you anything you want to know. Just write the check, because this is the first year in 8 years that our general fund, which is where your donation of starting at $5 up to $5,000 will go. It goes right into our general fund. Our general fund is sort of like thinking about what you need for your household. What's your household budget? And we have electric and we have gas, telephone, rent. We have everything that you probably have in your own house that we have to cover, or we aren't. So we go out for that first. We go to the Arizona Commission on the Arts. And we have two very solid, God love them, donors who have come forth for us for 11 years. Mm. And what's curious is neither of those particular donors live here. They live in other places but are arts supporters. Well, one donor does live here part of the year and takes care of another art center the other part of the year. So it works out for us. This has been a very slow year for us, as I think most organizations. But where we're down most is from private donations from our town. That's really, you know. Mm-hmm. So send money.
Where?
Where? Okay. To Patagonia Creative Arts, Patagonia, Arizona. And the P.O. box is 12. Well, then, the P.O. box is 12, I think 48.
But that can be checked out in the phone book, probably.
Well, don't even check it out. Just write the check, get it in, and we'll put a stamp on it, run it down to the post office, hand it to Jackie, and that's all you have to do.
Okay.
Or hire somebody to do that.
So the Art Center also provides some programs for adults in the space. Would you like to say a little bit about that?
The children never pay a cent to come to the Art Center. However, the adults are self-sustaining. Sometimes what they do is they make a small donation to us or a large donation to us, and thank you for using the space. Another way to do it is, as I really like an awful lot, is that Martha Kelly has a evening ceramic program, and she just runs that independently, and then she donates to the Art Center. So the little bit that she's spending for the program itself has to do with the clay, and she's not really, she's just providing the program. She's, because she loves clay. Mm-hmm. She just loves it. So she has that going, and people kind of make it work somehow. Mm-hmm. I don't do anything with adults. It's too late. So what I do is I focus most, if not all, of our grant monies on the very young in our community. They still listen. They still believe in Santa Claus. They still think that art is fabulous. And so it's a nice audience to work with.
Mm.
And adults pay their own way, offer their own programming, volunteer to do programming with the younger children. I mean, it's just really wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then the Tin Shed Theater has a variety of activities for adults.
It's so hard for people to understand that. I'm not sure I even understand it. The Tin Shed Theater is in the building.
Can you say where in the building?
It's in the back.
Okay.
It's in the back of the building.
And what did it used to be?
It used to be a tin shed. It still is. It's connected to the organizational or the administration and the activity part of the building. It's even on a lower level. And two people have been very instrumental. One was Saul Lieberman. He started that with his very first Spooky Casa. The building did not burn down, even though we had several fires in different places. We sort of grew from that when Jan Johnson went to the Woman's Club and asked for a donation of materials and time, and they created the velveteen curtains that made it really a theater. They sewed for days. Sewed for days. Roger Johnson put together kind of wiggle board and tacked those curtains to that and made it, instead of a black box theater, it's a burgundy box theater.
Where did the chandelier come from?
I bought the chandelier through the Art Center. I was with Lisa Hudson. I was a member of the Arizona Commission on the Arts for 4 years. And I used to get lost in Phoenix every time I went up there. So I asked Lisa Hudson once to take me up there. She grew up there. And she did. And at some Home Depot or something, one of those types of stores, we saw things out in front that were being sold. And one was that 5 layers of plastic chandelier. And that was another thing that made it more of a theater. And on it went. And volunteer time. Saul helped with the bleachers that you go up on. Everybody helped. Everybody made it be something. And I pretty much stayed away from it because, you know, I'm so temperamental. And all of the theater people were also very temperamental. So it's best to allow it to grow its own organic way. I want to tell you, we've never made a cent on it. I guess that's true of theaters all over the country. It just drains us, but there it is, and our community loves it.
Yeah. Had you run an art center before coming to Patagonia?
No, I had other types of experience. I have an undergraduate degree in art education. I have a graduate degree in integrative education. I also have another graduate degree that master's in art therapy. I hated to do that. I didn't like to do art therapy, and I didn't know that until I got out to the field. And I taught for 20 years, and I taught art. And I taught from kindergarten through 12th grade. And I also helped with my husband's business. So I had a combination of two things going for myself in terms of my confidence level. But actually, your question was, have I ever run an art center before? No.
So this was a totally new thing for you.
Oh, yes. I had no idea I was going to be like an administrator, that I was going to be, you know, titled executive. I just wanted to play with those kids and make art. But I spent a lot of time with a very threatening note on the door that says grant writing season, stay out. So, but I understand if we don't do that, then we aren't able to offer the programming. So it's been a bittersweet sort of experience in terms of my own development.
So then how did you first get interested in art?
In art?
Yes.
Oh.
Did you do art as a child?
Oh, yes. I mean, art was in my home. And when I was in third grade, I won a prize to go to art training at Tam O'Shanter in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, which is it was like a cream de la creme sort of experience for me. I got to take a trolley for one, and people thought my work was wonderful, and I got to smell oil painting. I got to smell it. And once that smell is inside of you, I guess it's almost impossible to get rid of it. So I just did it forever. I mean, that's what I studied after I was out of high school. I did a lot of work with theater when I was in high school and in college. And I liked that so much. But I never acted. I have never acted.
What work did you do in theater?
I did the staging, what we call it that, the scenery and the staging props.
Painting sets and stuff?
Painting, spray painting. Mm-hmm. It's a very exciting field, you know, to do backdrops, and that's what I did. I did the painting and the construction part of things. That's why I so respect Roger, because he does a beautiful, beautiful job with hardly anything. I really admire that in people's lives and in the theater.
Some people in the community may not know Roger's role in the theater. How would you describe that?
Well, I would say that one of the things about Roger and his role...
And this is Roger Johnson.
It's Roger Johnson and his wife also. I would say he coupled with Saul Lieberman, I mean, two different personalities, were the two major forces to make that happen. So he's really one of the founders of the theater in that kind of sense. He's also a perfectionist, has had a lot of experience. He's a volunteer, and he puts it all together himself.
And he directs the plays.
He directs as well. Now, if other people come in, and they have the Patagonia Players and other wild groups come, and they have their own person directing, and so that's a different. But with Roger and Roger's place, he's on. He's right there, and he's right on. And he's very meticulous.
Mm. And so he coordinates. He also is kind of a producer, too, wouldn't you
say? Yeah, I'd
say
that.
Because he coordinates
basically
everything a producer would do as well.
Exactly. Yeah. He does the coaching, the directing. He does the scenery. He does the takedown, the cleanup. He does it all. And he does it all by himself. It's quite exceptional. The scenery itself is worthy of seeing.
Mm. Now, the Art Center is a resource for such a small town that I would think few other towns in Arizona this small have to this extent. Is that the case?
We're the only one in Arizona that has the type of mission that we have. A lot of arts places are absolutely wonderful. They show shows for professionals or emerging artists. They have a summer program, perhaps, or not. But they're primarily encouraging adult artists to have a space, a venue to exhibit their work. We don't do that. We have exhibits, but our exhibits are from children and have to do with children's lives. So we really are the only organization like ours. And I think that's why I was invited to be part of the Arizona Commission on the Arts, because we were these wild people down there and nobody was around and who was going to do it and how was it ever going to work and you weren't going to stay on your feet and so on and so forth. This negativity that, it just wasn't going to happen. And I knew it would. I really did. I had great faith. And, the reward of all of that has been the journey.
Mm.
So, there we are. We're still there.
Do you have any other highlights of the journey that you'd like to share?
Yes, I do. One of the things that I think about when I think about the Art Center is I think about the time that a group of us went to Mata Ortiz, Mexico. And, talk about a leap of faith. It was at the time before they had public water. It was at the time before buses were going there for tourists. And it was raw, really raw. And we went there in the summer and we gathered together children. And we worked every single day that we were there with the children in a concrete block furnace. It was so hot. And the roads weren't paved and it was so dusty. And your feet, just the whole thing. We had the most magnificent experience. We had 27 children in our program. And
all
we
from Patagonia?
Oh, no, we're in Mata Ortiz.
Oh, so you were working with children there.
Yes. So we got it together, put up posters, come to see this fabulous play, Capacito Rojo, which is Little Red Riding Hood, and 27 kids. The opening and closing night of their performance, there were 148 people inside the space and a non-counted at least 50 plus that were in the outside space to come and see their children perform. We weren't prepared for that number of people, but there they were. They came on horseback, they came in wagons, they came in cars, they came in trucks, they walked. They got there to be able to support, to see their children. And it was so wonderful for me because I've always believed that if you work through children, you can get anything done because people love their kids. They want to see their kids performing. It doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't matter what the child's doing. Maybe it's universal, but I know that anything we've done here in Patagonia, and certainly what we did in Mata Ortiz, rave reviews, great success. Mm-hmm. We packed it up and came home. It was sort of like being a troubadour. And fun. So that's a real highlight.
Mm. seems like I remember several years ago some kind of other recognition from the state level of the efforts and the work that you're doing.
Oh,
here.
We did. What? We got them. I hardly remember what that was, Julie. It was from the state, from Arizona State. And, oh, it was for community building through the arts. And, you know, like a lot of awards that you get. I'm not sure we do that, but, and it's not necessarily part of our mission, but it seems to happen spontaneously.
Mm-hmm. How do you define community building?
Well, that has to do with people being connected with each other. It has to do with communications between each other. It has to do with people who haven't seen each other for a long time and have ideas about things. And it's not political, in our case. It's art and kids. Who doesn't like art and kids? So there's no politics involved in it. Everybody can feel safe, and they can feel that they're part of, rather than on the outside of things.
Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, as we wind down, is there anything else that you've been thinking about that I
haven't?
Well,
I know I haven't done it myself. It would be impossible to do something that is such a, it really, a, I love it. It's a wonderful thing. And just because I was involved in it from the beginning doesn't mean that I made it happen. There were just lots of people over the 11 years that tossed in their most valuable heart piece to get something going for kids and give them really something relevant to their lives and something they can take away forever. So not just me, there were just lots and lots of people.
Now, do you have staff?
Well, I'm the staff. But we also recognize the contribution that Faye Finley has been giving us, and she's a co-director. We also always recognize and respond to that fact that Molly Finney has made this possible. And she's a wonderful teacher. She comes in and she teaches the little guys, and that's a fabulous thing. We have Roger. We have so many people that want to keep the Art Center alive. And the only way that it'll stay alive is if we have enough money. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just that simple.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, as we close, what can listeners do if they want to be more involved in the Art Center?
Well, one of the areas that we're looking at presently has to do with people volunteering with their own program. In that our program monies are down, we would like to use the talent in the community, and we would like them to think of something they'd like to do with kids and get in touch with us about that, and we can have a conversation about how that can happen.
Mm. And what's the best way for them to get in touch?
I
phone
would
number?
Say, yeah, okay, we have a phone number. That phone number is area code 520-394-9369. And we answer the phone, and we also respond to our messages.
Okay. Anything else that comes to mind?
Yeah, there's one thing. Okay. And that is that most people, not only in the town, but people who visit our town, think that we're a shop and want to explore what's going on in there. Well, what's going on in there is when we have programming for adults or kids, and what's going on in there is that we're doing administration of grants. So it's pretty dull once you actually get in the door. And so we've put up a note that says we are a 501c3, which means that we're nonprofit and we're not a shop. So that's been really helpful. That's been really helpful because, you know, they want it to be. They're visitors. Mm-hmm. So that's been a little bit of a change, and it's nice.
Mm-hmm. Great. Oh. Thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Well, it was a pleasure. I hope I didn't talk too much.
No.
I have more.
One bit.
I have more. If
you
want to do
more?
Part two. Oh, yeah. You know, at another time, I'm wearing out.
Okay.
But at another time, yeah.
Thank you, Gail.
Thank you, Julie. Thank you so much.
I appreciate your time. Okay, after we finished our interview, Gail mentioned that she had some credits that she would like to roll. Gail.
Thank you for this opportunity. Molly Finney, Roger Johnson, Sylvia Morietta, Helen Chester, Winona Lampierre, Elvia Miranda, Carlos Mingura, Martha Kelly.
And are they the board members?
These are the core board members. But I'd also like to mention some of the people who have been really supportive. Adrian, two anonymous donors that are right in this town, and all the teachers over the years. And Saul Lieberman, Helen Chester, Faye Finley, Martha Kelly again, Molly Finney, Winona Lampierre, and Allison Marshall. Thanks so much. We need guys. Look at that list.
Thank you, Gail.
I never